Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Talking all things LSU spring football as the spring game approaches next weekend with our good friend Blake Ruffino of AYS Sports. Blake, what's going on, my man? Appreciate you taking the time. And Listen, I'm doing you a favor. I'm giving you some relief because I know it's been a tough last couple of days on the diamond and even on the hardwood last night. We're going to talk some Bayou Bengals football to put your mind at ease. What's going on, man? Appreciate you taking the
time. Oh, well, that don't put me at ease at all. Watching this defensive line, I mean, you're making it worse. You're adding on to the to my issues. But, yeah, it's been an interesting last couple of days. You know, obviously we may talk a little baseball. We might not. I don't know. But it's been tough. I mean, but here's the thing about LSU, man. There's never a dull moment. Either you're going to fight on Twitter with, you know, for Kim Mulkey and hit pieces, or you're going to go to football practice, which Brian Kelly gave us last Saturday. Not this past Saturday, but Saturday before, Chris. We were out there the entire day. We'll be back out there for the entire practice on this upcoming Saturday. So, I mean, it's been very eventful. I got to be real with you. This might be one of my favorite times of the entire year because, I mean, you got baseball, which is a staple here. But Brian Kelly, like, letting us out and letting, like, people out there and watch the entire practice, I think is something that's been relieving. Mm-hmm. And you can form your own opinion, right? Like, you mean, you're not just saying, oh, well, this guy might be good. This guy might be good. You're allowed to see the entire thing, so which has made things a lot better. And it's been a very fun spring so far.
You know, Blake, I'm all for bringing back the days of open practices. I remember early 2010s as a South Carolina fan going out and Steve Spurrier opening things up and getting a first glimpse, first look, whether it was spring ball. I think this was actually fall camp, and that feels like that was eons ago because these coaches are so hypersensitive and so anal. They you know, they got to make it Fort Knox, basically, trying to get in there. But like you mentioned, man, you and I, we get together. We're going to spend a lot of time talking football, but really quickly, on the baseball note, we were talking off air. Tigers sit 2-7 right now, just got swept by Arkansas, who I really think have a case to be, you could say, they're the best team in college baseball. But
yep.
LSU loses to Southern last night at the time of us speaking. Are you hitting the panic button yet on the Bayou Bengals?
No, I would be. I think, Chris, context is big here, right? Meaning, all right, so you go into Mississippi State weekend one and you win a game, but you're in that Friday night game where you probably should have won. But because you have a young team, you know, you have a 2-0 count, you hit a dribbler to shortstop, 6-4-3 double play, that pretty much ends the game for you. Then Braswell, you know, Michael Braswell has a very tough play at short. He's unable to make it. And I think it's a little unfair to him for people to say, oh, well, if he makes that play, we win. I mean, that's a tough play for anybody. You know, Derek Jeter might be the only human being in the history of life that could have made that play. But I look at that. Okay, so look, Mississippi State wanted it more than you. They have a lot to prove. And look what they did to Florida this weekend, man. I mean, of course, we're talking about a Jack Caglione home run away from them winning that series.
They could have swept that series easily.
Could have swept it. And so that context that you just mentioned is key. Let me explain. Saturday – the next week on a Saturday, so you beat Florida on Friday, you literally get a strikeout for out three in the ninth inning. It bounces off the plate. The ball goes out. You're unable to get the strike. And then the ultimate Tiger killer, Chris, I've been covering this team since 2017. Ty Evans is the ultimate Tiger killer. It's a line drive back up the middle. Runner gets the third. Then they get it. Jack Caglione comes up, and then ball game. So you should have won the series against Florida. A very flukish play. You know, Big McDonald was on the call. He goes, guys, I pitched probably over 2,000 innings in my career, college, and summer ball, even going into the pros. And he said, I've probably had that happen to me twice. So you're talking about 2,000 innings of a guy who is the biggest, one of the bigger names in college baseball and in baseball in general. So, and he says that. So you should have won the game against Florida, but there's no excuses, right? You didn't win it. You couldn't respond on Sunday to get the win. Chris, here's the ultimate thing. You're in every single game, all three games against Arkansas in the eighth and ninth inning. You're just not ready for the moment. And I think, Chris, there's a lot to be said about any team ever in any sport that when you're young, I'm actually – secretly, I'm not going to tell a lot of LSU fans this on my show. Secretly, I kind of look at it as, hey, man, you can't buy this experience, right? Like, you cannot buy what they've been going through. Now, here's the bad part. You're 2-7 in the league, and you just lost to Southern in the midweek. But either, and I feel like from LSU fan standpoint or just fans in general, pick, you better pick if midweek games matter or not. Because if they don't matter, then last night didn't mean shit for LSU. Excuse me if I can't curse. But can I curse? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Hey, speak freely, my friend.
You had Vern Funquist on this platform. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can curse. I mean, does it matter or not? I think that there are things, Chris, that it starts to unravel a little. Now you're against Vandy. You're about to find out exactly what you're made of. I think they can win the series. I actually am going to predict tonight or tomorrow night, whenever we break down Vandy, I'm going to pick LSU to win the series. I have not picked them in any series. Mississippi State, I said, listen, you're going to be a weekend away from beating Mississippi State. Last week, I said, I think you're going to lose 2 or 3 to Florida. And then this week, I said that I felt like they could get swept because you're just not living up to the moment. So, really do think that they can win this series, but can they get going? And quite honestly, Chris, some of these older players that aren't getting it done, bye-bye. I mean, look, this seniority thing ain't going to work anymore. This is high-level competitive baseball. It no more coddling you anymore. If you can't field the ground ball, bye-bye. I know that's a lot to break down, and I said a lot there, but I do think that context is key. Now, if they lose this weekend, Chris, am I going to hit the panic button, I'm going to throw that son of a gun. You know, like, so there's a lot of context, I think, that needs to go into that.
I'm sure those predictions you've made over the first 3 weekends have sat really well with the LSU fan base. And, you know, I was going to tell you too, man, so you do a lot of post-game stuff virtually after every game. I feel like you've probably taken on the role of therapist at this point over the last couple of days. And this is going to transition me into not just the baseball side, but the game against Iowa that happened. Caitlin Clark did Caitlin Clark things. Quick thoughts on the season that was. I mean, it's with LSU, there's as many storylines, I feel like, following them for whatever reason off the court as on the court with Kim Mulkey stuff and Angel Harris and everything that happens. Your thoughts on that game and just the season that was for LSU women's basketball?
Yeah, I think, Chris, there are a lot of storylines, and that's what makes, like, so people that cover LSU, there's, you know, the reason that we constantly, as they say in our business, Chris, go viral, and because the content is there. You know, look, I'm not going to get political on your show, but I think that there's something to be said, Chris, about women's basketball and sports in general that continue to get politicized. You know, LSU has had a routine for 3 years, Chris, where they don't go out for the national anthem. They go back in there, they go and they finish their pregame stuff and what they need to accomplish, and they're never out there. But the thing is, last week, man, I mean, you would have thought that Kim Mulkey was going to be Donald Trump's VP. Now you're turning around, she's not out there for the anthem. You got to pick a side. And I will tell you this, that is the biggest problem, Chris, right now, the politicization, if that's even a word, of women's basketball, right? Like, me and you both are not traditional media. We started stuff from, you know, an idea, and both of us have been successful in doing it. You didn't go in here to be political. I didn't go in here to be political. But the problem that I have is, we should be able to celebrate the Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird female version of what has happened on the court. Caitlin Clark was unconscious last night. You want to talk? And then, you know, like, people are calling her not elite. What are you seeing when she's pulling up for the logo, going full Steph Curry from the logo, 3, bang, like I'm Mike Breen in the NBA Finals? So I just think, Chris, for me, it's so exhausting. I will say this. Look, you're 1-1 against them. Angel got the first one. Caitlin got the second one. And I just think that both of them have changed women's college basketball more than anybody ever. Chris, more people watched last night's game than the NBA Finals. We're talking about women's Elite Eight, right? So LeBron James can't get what Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark did last night. That should tell you where the sport is. And I think that rivalry does help a lot, but it does become exhausting when every single thing that you do gets politicized and people talk craziness on social media. Great game. Mm-hmm. Look, man, you got beat by a better player. She was on one last night. So congrats to her. UConn is going to be a tough game. And then South Carolina has absolute trees in the paint. So good luck with Dawn facing that team. But if Caitlin shoots the three, look, I mean,
it's what happened to him last year. It's what happened to him last year. Caitlin Clark went off and took down South Carolina in the Final Four. So
right. I mean, it could happen again. We'll see.
Blake, let's transition into and talk LSU football. Again, the spring game approaching next weekend at Death Valley. We'll start on the defensive side. Again, you're there, boots on the ground. You've been at practice. You mentioned you're going back out this weekend. Blake Baker, certainly one of the most notable coordinator hirings, assistant coach hirings, if you will, of the offseason. Your early impressions of him, and I know, again, when you and I spoke a couple months ago, you talked about the culture shift on the defensive side you wanted to see. Have you seen that early on in his tenure?
Oh, without question. Here's what I said, Chris, on my show after last Saturday in a nutshell. With Blake Baker, complacency isn't an option. Right? Like, complacency just is. If you're not doing the right things, he's going to pull you. Matt House, you know, God bless him. By the way, who blocked me on social media. But nevertheless,
I did see that.
Nevertheless.
Now, about the only thing he stopped during his time in Baton
Rouge. The only thing that he stopped. The only thing that he could legitimately stop was blocking me on Twitter. But the funny thing about that is, I think that, Chris, we've seen from a linebacker, Harold Perkins, by the way. A linebacker and secondary, they have gotten much better in communication, coverage, things like that. The problem is, I don't care if Bill Belichick and Nick Saban were your co-DCs. With this interior defensive line, you're in trouble. And, Chris, they got a pickup from Gio Paez from Wisconsin, a role player. Would it be a role player anywhere else in the country? Was a role player at Wisconsin. You just don't have enough good bodies right now in the interior of that defensive line. Of course, when they play Ole Miss, when they play Alabama, heck, when they even play USC, because I think USC is going to be better than people are giving them credit for when I look at them next year. I think that there's going to be the only question mark I have right now really is how bad you've been on that interior defensive line. Chris, I'll read up a stat for you because, like I said, we were at practice last Saturday. In a nutshell, these were the four drives for LSU offensively running the football. 17 yards per carry, 12 yards per carry, 9 yards per carry, 11 yards per carry. And then they came back in a running drill. They had 14 yards per carry. So there's two things that could be said about that. Number one, I do think that you can make the argument that LSU has the best offensive line in the conference. But you can't, Chris, they're not getting touched. You hear me? And there's something else with this. I think that Caleb Jackson, the running back, has a lot of Leonard Fournette in him. And if you do not know who he is, you better get to know Caleb Jackson. Because if you don't, like he did against Mississippi State last year, as the kids say, you're going to get truck sticked. The problem with that, with him, Chris, is not only is he running dudes over like Harold Perkins and others, he's running away from them. He's faster than Lenny was. He's 230 pounds and will knock your head off. The intensity offensively in the running game has been much bigger, but I just don't think from a personnel standpoint, LSU is there yet on the D-line. That's why you bring in Bo Davis. That's why you bring in Blake Baker, because of just the bad situation you are right there. So that being there and watching them vigorously throughout the practices, that has been my biggest concern.
Blake, let's talk specifically about Harold Perkins. Obviously, that's been a name that we've seen a lot on social media over the last couple of weeks. What have you seen from him? Where are they positioning him? And from what you've seen in spring, do you feel confident that he'll be more like the 2022 version versus the 2023 version?
I think, Chris, that it's unfair. Here's what I think ultimately happened, because I went back and watched that Florida State game about 2 weeks ago, and we broke that down a lot. I think that LSU panicked a little too early on him at inside backer. Look, it's what did we learn about LSU last year? Your D-line sucked. Okay. So since your D-line sucked, you played a team against Florida State, who, by the way, is a Jordan Travis freak injury away from maybe hosting that national title trophy. They run counter. They run different things schematically that if a first-time linebacker just isn't going to be – like when you're – hitting him every play and ramming into him every play, I think it was unfair to him. I also think right now, Chris, I cannot make a true determination about him at inside backer because the D-line has been so bad. So what LSU has been doing is, by the way, been under center. And I think that this helmet in the microphone in the helmet that got passed, LSU's even going into huddle. So it's been different. They're running bootlegs under center, more pro style stuff. Because his D-line has been so bad, I don't think that we can get a good determination of how good he can be there. Here's the second thing, though. They are moving him all over the place, which is what you want to see. They're not going to be hamstrung and just putting him in one position saying, you do these three things. He's too good of an athlete for you to do that. Now, here's the thing with Harrell. He's horrible in the running game a lot of times. Against Alabama, you want to know why they ran Jalen Milroe got loose? You should have spotted him. Okay, well, that's true. But there's a lot of different things that go into that. They were running right at him, Chris. Right? Like, it's not as if that they shied away from Harrell Perkins. No, they shied away from Greg Penn. They went right at Harrell Perkins. So not only does he have to get better, but he's got to understand that, listen, if I got to take a lineman's knees out to jam things up, look, dog, this is a violent sport. And there's a reason why, if I could hike my fat leg up here, I'd show you that I have two patellar tendon grafts from an ACL. It's not a pretty sport, but you got to be able to take on those guards better than you did last year. So I think moving him around, he got a sack the other day. He came off the edge, beautiful blitz. I think Garrett Nussmeier was so flustered. His sphincter was so tight you couldn't fit a grease BB in it when Harrell Perkins was coming off that edge. It's just it's tough right now making a determination on him because the interior guys have been so bad.
Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System. Blake, let's switch sides of the football to the offensive side. You mentioned Garrett Nussmeier. What does life look like thus far after Jaden Daniels? You mentioned the emergence of Caleb Jackson at the running back position, which obviously I think is just as important as, you know, the quarterback position, because Jaden Daniels had to do it all, right? Which he shouldn't have had to, right? The running game right. Felt like non-existent without him. But when you look at Garrett Nussmeier, what the offense has looked like in spring, life after Jaden Daniels, what's that look like for LSU?
Ironically, Chris, they've caught more interceptions in this spring than they did in spring and fall football all last year. That people start questioning Garrett, and let me tell you, I've questioned a little bit. He's thrown a lot of picks this spring, but he's a gunslinger and he's going to take risks. And the issue that you got to have with something like that from an offensive standpoint is, Chris, if your defense is that bad, you got to limit risk, right? And you got to play with inside the system. I think they got to dial him back a little bit, but when he's on, he's lighting them up. And it comes to a fact of like which Garrett Nussmeier came to practice today in a lot of ways. Look, I think that they've been really good. I think the story for me offensively has not so much been Garrett Nussmeier, but it's been his receivers bailing him out. Chris, I know that Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. is not there anymore, but there was a time that I remember that neither was Jamar Chase and Justin Jefferson, and LSU wide receivers still were getting drafted. They got a squad. You hear me? At that position, they are fighting for every inch, fighting for every yard, because you got five guys that want to play and want to start. Not all of them can be out there unless you go full Texas Tech NCAA 14, right? Like, you got to be – you're not going to go five wide with Brian Kelly. So he's been fine. He's got to get a little better in understanding. You know, even with Joe Sloan, who was promoted as the OC, you're doing some different things offensively. You got to sometimes play within the system. If you got a tight end in the flat and it's first and 10, throw it to him. Don't continue to throw bombs down the field. I know you want to, but Jaden Daniels and Garrett Nussmeier at times are the complete opposite of quarterbacks. One would not take any risk, and then he did, obviously, last year when he won the Heisman, but then Garrett takes too many risks. So it's a fine balance of having to tell him, listen, there is nothing wrong with throwing your tight end in the flat and getting 8 yards, because if you do that a couple of times, those safeties are going to walk down and you can hit that bomb. So it's just, Chris, you're talking about a guy that's only had one start in his college career. He's got a lot of talent and a lot of experience, but I think the running game has just been the biggest key in the competitiveness at the wide receiver. He's got bailed out a lot this spring. I got to give the receivers a lot of credit on that.
Blake, obviously a talented signing class and transfer portal additions taking part in spring ball. Who's been a couple of guys, youngsters that maybe folks don't know about that have stood out to you that you think have elevated their way up the depth chart or at least started to make a name for themselves this spring?
It's got to be DeShaun McBride, the high top 50 recruit, 4-star safety defensively. Chris, I think he, you know, if SEC fans will remember, I think he's Grant Delpit. I think, quite honestly, he was the number one. So I got made fun of by LSU people, and I got made fun of by just fans. He was number one player that I had coming in out of Louisiana. It wasn't Dominic McKinley. It wasn't Tre'Davious Green, the tight end, who we've yet to see. It was DeShaun McBride. And because, Chris, teams threw away from him as a senior, he didn't get the stats. But as a junior, he had 9 interceptions. He physically is the dude. Like, I don't know. What they did in this last recruiting class to me so far looks like what I saw from LSU defense of old, like 6'3", 6'4", safeties that can run all over the place, will get in there and light you up in the running game. I have no idea how they're going to keep that young man off the field. Now, against USC, game one, do I expect him to go out there and start? No, not really, unless he continues to do what he's been doing. But my God, that kid can play, and he was an early enrollee. And I think the biggest takeaway that I had last Saturday was DeShaun McBride and then Sage Ryan, you know, picking off Garrett Nussmeier 3 times. But McBride has been arguably the biggest highlight of this spring so far. And, Chris, it's not like spring chatter that you hear. You know, like, we're actually visibly seeing him just dominate. And so he's long, he's fast, he's got great hands, he'll come up and run support. If I had to give a comp to him, I think that he is Grant Delpit, the former second-round pick to the Cleveland Browns.
Now, Blake, it's really difficult to draw any sort of conclusions from spring practice because, you know, it's good on good. It's your guys going up against your own guys. So it's like, is this unit good? Is this unit not good? Whatever. You'll drive yourself crazy. But from what you've seen, what stood out? Have there been any surprises or anything right now you feel like you've learned about this football team that maybe you didn't know going into the spring?
Not really. I mean, I'm trying to think. Maybe that the O-line was deeper than I thought that it would be. You know, so Emory Jones, who's going to be a top 50 pick in the NFL draft next year at right tackle, he was out for a couple days, just like, I mean, had a splinter. And if you got a splinter and you're a starter, Brian Kelly's going to pull you. I'm just going to let you know. He's not going to risk a stupid spring practice for a guy like that. But then they had a 4-star kid in Tyree Adams, who came in at right tackle, Chris, you wouldn't have known any different. And I think now that you have all of this offensive line with experience and returning, I do think that I was not giving them enough credit when I should have. They are physically dominating at the point of attack. So the question becomes, how bad is the D-line? How good is this O-line? But I think the depth there, they can rotate multiple dudes and Chris not really have a massive drop off. I could make an argument that you have two guards that, you know, yeah, they're younger dudes and you're going to play the seniors at right guard and left guard, but they're not as talented as the dudes behind them. So with that being said, I think there are a lot of things to be said about Brian Kelly's Notre Dame philosophy coming to Baton Rouge. I do think, though, Chris, that he has better weaponry, right? And I think that it's gonna take a little time, and they got a lot of things that they got to fix. But the question that I always had with Brian Kelly was, if you establish the offensive line that you had at Notre Dame with what I know at skill that you're going to get, that Louisiana continues to produce and you can continue to get, just how dynamic can you be? And I think that that's all you saw that literally, Chris, last year with Jaden Daniels. And everybody's like, oh, what about the running game? Jaden Daniels was your running game. You average 7 yards per carry with your running backs. Like, so, I mean, what if you run for 7 yards per carry this year, you're gonna clap some ever-living cheeks. So I look at them and say to myself, that unit is as deep as it's ever been. Chris, LSU is number two in the last 20 years in national titles behind Alabama. There has not been a unit ever on either line of scrimmage that's been this deep more than this offensive line. By the way, they got 2 5-stars coming in. So, and Weston Davis being a guy, Chris, he's 6'6". He did a 360 spin, then jump, dunk. And I'm like, that dude's going to play right tackle? Like, put him on the D-line. We suck at D-line right now. So that has been the biggest surprise for me. I think I had pretty good thoughts on everything else. It's just I did not realize that they'd be that good on the offensive line right now.
So, Blake, we sit 11 days away from the LSU spring game. Mm-hmm. And again, like I mentioned, it's really difficult to draw any sort of hard conclusions. But what do you want to see specifically from LSU in that spring game, offensively, defensively, as a whole, to set them up well for the offseason and obviously going into the fall?
I think the play of wide receiver Kyren Lacy. Now, stay with me here, okay? I want to see him continue to be the guy that he's been already all offseason. Chris, I think that there's a lot to be said about when you have dudes that leave like Brian Thomas and Malik, you have a lack of leadership sometimes. And Chris, we just talked about LSU baseball, Cruz, Skeens, Beloso, Dugas. When you have those dudes leave, who's going to be the guy that steps up? And the biggest thing that I want to see, Chris, I could care less what plays you run. I could care if the score was 3-0. We could go full Billy Napier spring game. Would not bother me one iota. I want to see the leadership. And I think that in today's society with the portal and NIL, we lose sight of the experience factor and the camaraderie. Chris, he's going into year three. This was a portal guy when Brian Kelly came in. Now this is his team. This is his room. This is, you know, he is a vocal guy. Now, Chris, we're going out there and he's not saying anything and he's lighting dudes up. I want to continue to see the leadership that we don't know who the leaders on this team was going to be. We knew Jaden Daniels was the guy. He wouldn't talk, but he would lead by example. I want to see him continue to lead. I think the biggest thing for me, though, I just want to see a team that gives a shit, right? Like, I want to see – last year, I thought that there were a lot of times last year that we had a defense that did not give a shit. Go watch Ole Miss game if you think that I'm wrong. They were just, oh, he scored. You can't do that anymore. I want to see more of a want to. And if I get to see that, I'll be happy coming out of it. Any play that's run will not bother me. Now, Garrett Nussmeier can't go out there and throw 3 picks like he did last Saturday. Then I'll start to panic a little bit. Like, hey, that's 3 days, 3 times we've seen him where he's throwing 3 picks, but I don't think he's going to do that.
And Blake, that's, you know, in closing, I want to ask you, are you someone when it comes to spring games? Because I feel like a lot of these spring games, right, we're so antsy for football, but a lot of times the hype outweighs what we get, the product, if you will. I mean, it's a glorified scrimmage. Let's call it for what it is. But are you someone that does the spring game dictate one way or another how you feel about the football team? Is it something where do you take it with a grain of salt? Or, like, what's your view on spring games as a whole?
For me, I think spray games are the biggest joke of all time. But as someone who played collegiately, Chris, I think that there's things that you can pull. Number one, this is what I look at, and I tell my listeners, my viewers, this every spring. It's like clockwork. There's three things that I look for. Number one, are you making the right decisions? Quarterback, offensive line. If you're making the right decisions, but you just got beat, I can live with that, right? Number two, how much are you trying to compete? You know, like if you are doing everything you can to make that tackle, I can live with it. So basically, one and two could be the same. But I think number three is I just want to walk out of there with injury or no injuries, right? Like if all three of those things happen, you're successful. But I do think, Chris, there's one thing that I look at, and there's only one position group that I look at that I think it matters. It's quarterback. Why do I say that? Well, Joe Burrow and Jane Daniels, the year that they went into their Heisman Trophy runs, well, they exploded, and they lit people up. I think that quarterbacks in decision-making, you can make a pretty good determination if they're making the right decision in a route or throwing to the right route or throwing to the right receiver in a specific coverage. You can take things off of that, Chris, because it's good decision-making. Everything else is dookie water. Nothing else really matters because – they've faced the entire offense the same the whole offseason. It's like Graham Mertz last year. Chris, remember when Graham Mertz, they're like, man, he might not. He's not going to complete 50%. Graham Mertz, even though he's checked down Charlie, doesn't matter. He was able to make the right decisions. And so that's how I view spring. Just get out of there with no injuries. Make the right decisions. Show me that you give a damn, and we'll be fine.
Blake Ruffino of AYS Sports does a fantastic job talking all things, not just LSU football, but baseball, basketball, women's basketball, you name it. They're talking all things Bayou Bengals. Blake, appreciate you taking the time. Let folks know where they can check out your work, by the way.
Yep, so Ruffino and Joe Show Wednesday nights. Now we're moving to mornings for just a very small temperature time. Chris, I have a four-year-old that's in T-ball, and my man crushes. You hear me? He's much more of an athlete than I am. Maybe he gets that from his mom. So Ruffino and Joe Show, everywhere you listen to podcasts or YouTube, all that stuff, and then AYS. Like you said, post games, we do a lot of those. And just wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe.
Blake, appreciate you taking the time, man. We'll definitely do it
again. Thanks for having me, man. This is fun. You got my blood pressure up, and then you got it down. We're talking about women's basketball. Now, I the D-line sucks, so... Blood pressure's up, Chris.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.